For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Winning cures everything. Now for your hosts, Gary and Chris.
Welcome in to Winning Cures Everything. It is my Tuesday night solo show, but I'm not solo today. I have my good friend from Northwestern. He is one of the three members of the West Lot Pirates, our really good friends that Gary and I've made. And we are going to do a draft night live event. We did one last year. They did one 2 years before that without me because I was off seeing the Avengers. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Sam, how are you, sir?
I'm good, my friend. Hey, there's no shade in going to watch the Avengers, man.
There is on draft night when your team is expected to be a big deal, but I couldn't turn it down. Before we get into the show, I got to tell everybody, go to the website, winningcureseverything.com. Gary's worked his butt off to make that thing look good. You can find any information you need about us, all the stuff for the draft night special that'll be, I'm sure, on YouTube, I'm sure on Facebook, I'm sure on Twitch and all the other things that Gary sends it out on. You can find out how to get there and the links for it all at the website. And then one other thing I want to hit on today, before we get into the nuts and bolts of it, on this day, I got every show that I do myself, Sam, I make it all about me. So on this day, 1939, a legend, a hero, Ted Williams, took his first major league appearance with the Red Sox in Yankee Stadium. Little Ted Williams fact. 1941, Joe DiMaggio has the 56-game hit streak. Ted Williams, let me get this right before I butcher it real quick. Ted Williams' OPS that year was higher than Joe DiMaggio's, and Joe DiMaggio had the 56-game hit streak.
No kidding. That's wild.
Happy
anniversary to Ted Williams, man.
Yeah, yeah. He's so
amazing.
We are going to hit a lot of draft stuff, and then if we've got time, Sam is one of the few friends that I can talk hockey with. Have a few hockey things that I want to bring up, but Sam is a big Broncos fan, so we're going to get into his team. We're going to get into some of the Northwestern guys. Let's jump right into the draft. Let's start where everybody always wants to start with drafts. You got five quarterbacks. What do you think is going to happen this year? How would you rank the big five? And are all five even in your big five?
Well, I think the top five are probably all there. I can't think of any of the other quarterbacks like Davis Mills or Kyle Trask. Any of those guys would I put above any of the top five. I think, you know, Trevor Lawrence is pretty much a no-brainer at number one. Zach Wilson at two, I guess. I mean, he had a great year. I would like to see him up against tougher opponents. He had a great year the last year, absolutely. Do I think the Jets taking him at two is the right move for them? We'll see. They are the Jets after all.
Yeah.
The big question is at three. For me, it's Justin Fields without a doubt.
I think so too, man.
Watching him play at Ohio State, he's amazing. And, you know, no shade on Trey Lance, no shade on Mac Jones. I mean, both those guys are great. I think Justin Fields is a step above. Do the 49ers take him at three? That's the big question. I mean, like, that what the Niners do at three, I think really kind of takes things, would take the draft in a bunch of different directions. And I'm really, really interested to see what the Niners do.
So that's where the draft starts. I have the very contrarian opinion, not trying to just be a contrarian for contrarian's sake. I really do think, I think Kyle Shanahan really believes he can do this with anybody. I've kind of seen him do it with just anybody's. And I think he's going to take a quarterback later. I think they moved up to get the number one player in the draft, which is Kyle Trask. I mean, which is Kyle Pitts. Sorry, I got my Kyles from Florida mixed up.
I mean, it's easy to get them confused.
Yeah. But, yeah, they look a lot alike. But anyway, the thing is I think he's the best player in the draft. I think if quarterbacks weren't the premium that quarterbacks are, I do think there's a world where a tight end would go number one overall for the first time in history.
Especially with the way that, like, Travis Kelce.
Yeah, and Gronk changed the game. Changed the game. Before them, Tony Gonzalez kind of started this whole tight ends dominate. And you look at – I think Kyle Shanahan and Bill Belichick are mind melds, okay? I think they see the world very similarly. I think he saw Bill got his two tight ends. I think Kyle wants to run – the two best tight ends in football. His guys are about a decade younger than the two that Bill's got. And he's about a decade, or he's several decades younger than Bill. He's going to try to do it his way. Until I see a quarterback's name going there, I'm going to think it's Pitts. Greatly change the draft, by the way.
Oh, completely.
Every mock draft goes in the toilet from that point forward.
George Kittle. I mean, he is one of the best tight ends in football.
I think if he's healthy, he's a lot better than Kelce. I do.
He's as
Kelce.
He's phenomenal. You got to wonder, though, do you really put all your eggs in a two tight end set?
Yeah.
Especially in two tight ends who aren't necessarily blocking tight ends.
Well, Kittle is. Kittle's absolutely a blocking tight end.
Not in the traditional sense. I mean, he does a great job blocking, but I wouldn't consider – he's not like a big, bulky –
he's not Gronk, but none of these tight ends that can catch the football are Gronk. And, like,
that's true.
He's the unicorn. He's the best blocking tight end out of all the big pass-catching tight ends we've had. I mean, he's better than Ertz was. He's worlds better than Kelce was. I think they give you such a mismatch, especially in the red zone – I think the two tight end set is going to change football. I really do. I think it's going to change offenses, and other teams are going to have to adapt and evolve. Tight ends are going to become more of a premium. It's going to just reconfigure the game.
Well, and with Pitts, though, I mean, he lined up wide more often than he lined up inside. I mean, Pitts is just he's a freak.
He realistically is a wide receiver. That's why you can justify taking him over any of the other wide receivers. All right. So just for my sanity's sake, how do you have the other two quarterbacks ranking? How would you take them if you were the GM and you had the fifth pick and the first? Okay, you had the fourth pick and the first three are gone.
So the first three are gone. I think.
Do you have Wilson in your world? Wilson's behind Fields, though, right?
Yeah,
mine too. By the way,
yeah. Like,
if I was the Jets, I'd be taking Fields.
Oh, 100%. I think Fields is the second best quarterback in the draft.
All right,
Wilson. Yeah, but the Jets are going to take Wilson. Fine. Okay, right. Whatever. Good for them. They can continue to be mired in the muck that they are continued to be mired in. And that's fine. You know, they can draft first next year. Number three, I like what I've seen from Trey Lance. He's just such an unknown quantity. I mean, playing at North Dakota State, the big kind of albatross is Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
He comes from the same Carson Wentz system. Wentz, we've yet to see Wentz at his full potential, really. And, like, him moving to Indianapolis, I think, makes a lot of sense for Wentz. But, you know, it's hard to look at Trey Lance and not have that kind of Carson Wentz question mark in the back of your head. I mean, Lance has a ton of talent. He's phenomenal. But the question marks. But Mac Jones, on the flip side, how good is Mac Jones without the rest of the Alabama Death Star around him?
That's right.
That's the question.
That's a great way to put it. So I am buying more into the propaganda for Lance. I've watched the ESPN like special on him that came on. It was like 3 a.m. I couldn't sleep.
Sure.
They were doing all the quarterbacks. I'm sure I just caught his. And I'm not just because he played at North Dakota State, I'm not marrying him necessarily to Wentz. Could he be Josh Allen? Which is pretty amazing. Because that's Wyoming. That's just a golf ball shot away from North Dakota State. Same football kind of.
Same program. I mean, Craig Bolk went from North Dakota State to Wyoming. So
while it's easy to say Wentz was a bust, Allen doesn't look to be a bust. So I think that's
it took Allen a while before he, you know,
1 year.
Emerged.
Wait a minute. I think he only had 1 year.
3 years.
Well, last year was his third year, but his second year he made the playoffs.
But was he? He wasn't that. I mean, he didn't really emerge until last year.
No,
3 years.
100%. He did not emerge until last year.
Which is what I'm kind of carrying the is Drew Lock.
But when he emerged, he was in the MVP race for a minute.
Oh, for sure. Yeah,
you'll take that, right? You'll take your third year guy being in the consideration for the MVP.
Sure.
Making it to an AFC championship game. I think third year, that's a hell of a mark. We can't all be Russell Wilson and win a Super Bowl your first couple of years.
Let's not talk about that Super Bowl.
Oh yeah. Ah, I forget sometimes the other side of the Super Bowl coin. I know three of them well, but that's it. All right. You like the quarterbacks, and you're worried about, you would have Jones fifth, right?
I think I would have Jones fifth.
Me too.
But I wouldn't be sad to take him. Is the thing. Like I wouldn't feel like I'm missing out. Like it's not a huge flyer, I don't think. I mean, I think he's really, really good.
I think there's a world where he, outside of Trevor Lawrence, he has the highest ceiling, or highest floor. But I also think he has the lowest ceiling of them all. So are you swinging for the fences? Or are you trying to hit a routine single? Are you trying to move a guy from first to third? Basically a couple of baseball metaphors there. My issue with him is not so much his problem as much as it is the game has evolved. I told this Gary yesterday, and I don't remember if it was on. We do two shows on Monday, so it messes me up. It was either on our SBR show or it was on our live WCE show. But anyway, I said, outside of Tom Brady, because Tom Brady is an assassin. Tom Brady is a psychopath. Tom Brady is, we talked about this in our group chat, Tom Brady is not a well-adjusted individual.
Okay? No.
Like, so take him out of it. The last decade of football, all the great quarterbacks have to be mobile. They have to have a mobile aspect to their game. The idea of you being great and just a pocket passer is gone the way of the dodo, unless you are going to give up everything in your life. You're going to eat nothing but avocado and protein powder and sleep 6 hours a day and work out, 18 hours a day. Unless you're going to do that, you have to have a mobile aspect to your game if you want to be great.
Agreed.
And that's the reason. That's the only knock. I like to make fun of Alabama quarterbacks. I like to hope bad on Alabama players in the NFL because they destroy my life in college. This is not that. He just doesn't do the one thing, I think, in order to go to that next level in the NFL to be really great. He just doesn't have that aspect to his game. All the other quarterbacks do.
So, yes, I agree with you. I think a lot will depend on the system he goes into.
If
you are building around him, and you have the offensive line that you can give him that extra little bit of time, I think, he could be really, really good. Yeah. If you get him into a situation that Joe Burrow was in last year with, Swiss cheese of an offensive line, he's going to get his butt kicked.
Yeah, he's going to be Tua. He's going to be Tua, and Tua's a hell of a lot more athletic than him, but he's going to be Tua in the sense of he needs a system around him. And this is where we're going to end up with a chicken and egg situation. If the 49ers did move up to take Mac Jones, he's going to be successful because any of these five quarterbacks, which is why I honestly believe any of the four quarterbacks that come after these guys – go to Kyle Shanahan, they're going to be the best quarterback 5-6 years from now in this draft class. They're going to have more wins than everybody else in this draft class, and they're going to have better numbers than everybody else in this draft class because of the Kyle factor.
Yeah, I mean, that I don't disagree with you there. I think that's a great situation for anyone to come into, especially because you don't necessarily have to come in and start right away. Like, the Niners could absolutely go into next year with Jimmy G.
I think that's the plan.
Yeah. And, you know, to have Jimmy G be the starter and, you know, to be able to bring a quarterback along. So maybe you are going to take a flyer on Trey Lance and get him, you know, the reps in the NFL before you throw him to the Wolves. Or Mac Jones, I think, would be a possibility there as well.
Or you take Kyle Pitts and you take Kellen Mond in the third round.
That is
until I hear the number three name called and it's not Pitts, I'm standing on that stump. That's the gospel that's happening. I think everything else is smoke and mirrors.
If I'm the Niners, I don't give up that much to move up for Pitts.
Yeah, I don't either. I can't do that for anybody not named Fields though either. That's the problem.
Exactly.
I would give up that much for Justin Fields. I do think he has that home run, you know, swing to him that the other guys don't. He's everything I would want in this draft at a quarterback. If it's not Fields and it's anybody else, the price you pay, it might work out. I think it's going to work out, but I think the price you pay too high.
Yeah, I mean, they gave up a ton to go up to three, and I don't think you give that much to go up to three to take a tight end. I just don't. I think if you did want to move up for Pitts,
would you move up that much for the best receiver in the game? Forget that he's a tight end, because the Falcons did it a couple of years ago for Julio Jones. They gave up two first round picks, a second round pick, and a fourth round pick to move up to get Julio. And I think they're pretty happy with that.
Pretty happy with that.
He's one of the most dominant football players in the game for a decade.
But he hasn't, you know, he didn't change, like, the life of the Falcons.
A lot of that's Dan Quinn's fault. A lot of that's
other
coaches around him's fault, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot more that goes into that. But I think if you were looking to move up to take Pitts, you could wait till draft day and probably pay less.
Maybe.
I think to jump up that early, I mean, so far in advance to make that move – for a tight end, I mean, I just don't see it.
Okay. All right, so let's change gears a little bit. You got at least one guaranteed Northwestern boy coming out.
I think you got two.
And I was going to ask you, you think we got two. So let's talk about them. Tell me about Slater. There are people that think he could be better than Soul.
That's entirely possible. I mean, Slater was an absolute beast. And you have to look no further than a game that you were at when Northwestern played Ohio State 2 years ago. Chase Young did nothing that game. Ohio State destroyed Northwestern, in every other aspect.
Yes.
Chase Young, the number two pick of the draft, did absolutely nothing.
And proven to be a monster in the NFL as well.
Yeah.
Definitely not a fluke. By his rookie year standards, by any means, was completely taken out of the game.
Yeah, and you know, Slater is that kind of game changer.
I think so.
He is the guy you could throw in at left tackle and be happy for the next 10 to 15 years.
So
he came up as a right tackle and moved to left. So he has that versatility.
That's what I like about it.
I read a lot of people saying, oh, he should go inside. He should be a center. He should be a guard. I think if you got that kind of talent at tackle, you put him at tackle.
That's right. I agree.
And you just don't worry about it.
Yeah. I mean, unless you end up in the Patriots, which then you'll play all five positions because that's what Bill does. Am I saying Sewell's name right?
Sewell.
Okay.
Yeah,
let's do that.
Sewell.
Are people enamored with his age? Do you think that's the reason he's getting the bump, or is he really that kind of like prospect? I heard somebody today compare him to like the next Jonathan Ogden. I thought, hold the hell on, man. This kid might be amazing. But first off, the best offensive lineman in the history of the game was Joe Thomas. Let's be real careful before we just start throwing out. That's like comparing the next wide receiver to Jerry Rice. Like, you do understand the separation between Jerry and Randy is a country mile. So let's be real careful about picking maybe the two best offensive linemen to ever strap up shoulder pads.
That's who he's going to be. I mean, if you want to do like comps and stuff, that's fine. But like, you cannot make that kind of assessment on a tackle. I mean,
that's tough.
Look at the Broncos. Look at Garrett Bowles, a guy who was terrible for two years. It was just god awful, and they were looking to run him out of town. And then last year,
I lost you, Sam. I lost your sound. Whatever you just hit.
Sorry, can you hear me now?
Yep.
All right,
you hit a button.
So Garrett Bowles turns it around in year three, and all of a sudden is, you know, getting a big long-term extension, and, you know, is the left side of the Broncos offensive line for the next several years. So, yeah, I mean,
I think Sewell's gonna be really good. Can you plug Sewell in?
If you're the Bengals, do you take Sewell and really start to, you know, protect your quarterback? And here's the question. Or do you go get Joe Burrow's good buddy, Ja'Marr Chase, and put that together again? Because, that's real exciting. But to me, you have to build from the line out. Yeah,
I know.
If you don't have a line, your quarterback cannot be standing.
I'm biased here because I love Chase and I want him to be paired up with a Joe. And I want him to go to a team that I like, which is the Bengals, and I'm okay with that. I did a thing a couple of weeks ago. I was looking at numbers. The wide receivers that have been taken in the second round over the last two or three years, they're right now, production in the NFL, they're head and shoulders better than all the wide receivers taken in the first round, those same 3 years. Like, it's not close, by the way. It's really not close. And that's the only thing telling me, take the O-lineman. If I could be in the Bengals management, which the Bengals make no trades ever. I don't know that they've ever made a trade in my life of watching the draft. If I could do anything, I would take Chase, and then I would mortgage the franchise to trade back into the top 10 and take Slater. I'd let somebody take Sewell, and then I would come back in and take Slater.
That you'd have to give up a lot to get.
Well,
back
I think
into the
teams might do it for like this year. You're definitely giving up this year's second round pick, which is an early second, and then next year's first. And then could you maybe only give up another second kind of thing because you're not getting a premium player. You're not moving into the top. Two ones just got you to the three. You can't give up two ones to get you to the. And guess what? Those two first round picks that you got from the 49ers, that next year's first round pick is going to be late 20s. Okay. So it ain't too far away from the second round pick you're going to get from the Bengals this year.
But in that scenario, the Bengals have already taken their first round pick this year. They're going to have to give up two first round picks. So that would be next year and the year after. You're giving up
I don't know that you got to give up two first. That's what I'm saying.
If you want to get one of the top 10 picks to get out of the first round entirely, because that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
You're telling, you know, the Broncos at 9, no first round pick.
Well, if the Patriots were moved up earlier, they would sell it for 2 seconds and a first.
Well, sure. I mean, but, you know, Bill Belichick is all galaxy brain on this. I mean, he's playing 4D chess. And,
we
you know,
say that. But none of his draft picks have been any good in the last, like, 5 years. So,
well, none of his first-round draft picks have been any good in the first five years.
Not a lot of his second-round guys have been great either. His day three guys, he's better than most. But
which is why he always accumulates as many of those late, third, fourth, fifth.
He is going to pick the bust in the first round.
Yeah, that's what he does.
All right. Who's your second guy for Northwestern that might get taken?
Yeah, Greg Newsome, cornerback. This kid is unbelievable. The biggest knock on him is that he's been banged up a few years, mm-hmm. but you know, he hasn't played a complete season his entire career. But this past season, he gave up zero touchdowns.
Yeah,
pretty good.
Pretty good.
People do not throw at Greg Newsome. No one did. And, you know, he is the definition of a lockdown corner. And for him to go out on the pro day and put up a 4.440, that's just, I mean, that to me just take it puts him right in there. Yeah. Is he the best corner in the draft?
No.
I don't know. I mean, he will say so, but he has to say so.
Yeah.
You know, there's some really good corners in the draft.
That's right.
But I could absolutely see Greg Newsom going in the late teens, early 20s.
Wow. Okay. All right. I could see that. I'd be happy for that too, by the way. I'd be really happy to see that. So, and then let's get to your Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
You're the GM. Not what do you think they're going to do. What do you do? What are you doing to make your football team better? What do you think your biggest need is first? Let's hit that.
Well, so the huge question is a quarterback. But at nine, if some of these mocks are to be believed and Justin Fields is going
to
drop.
Are you begging for Fields to just fall? You're just hoping that these guys are talking so much trash. You're just retweeting Dan Orlovsky's like trash talk about him all day long.
No, see, I can't do that. But if he's there at nine, you absolutely take him.
Oh, yes. Not even but, close. It's not even close. Do you think you can move up?
That's the question. If you are going to move up, where are you going to move up? Who wants to dance? Miami at six?
There's reports today that Miami's trying to move out of six again.
I mean,
Fields might not be there at six, but one of the five will be because Cincinnati's not going to take quarterback, and they're not trading. They're going to take either Sewell or Chase. So that's it. And Pitts will probably be gone then. So if you get to six, you got a choice between two.
Yeah, and the question is, do you want to mortgage the future on that, or do you run it back with Drew Lock for one more year?
No.
See, year three, you know, we just talked about it with Josh Allen.
He's not Josh Allen.
Well, that's true.
He doesn't have those tools, man.
Well, I don't disagree. You know, the offense, I think, is a quarterback away from being dominant.
I think
However,
your football team is a quarterback away from legitimately competing for the Lombardi.
Yes.
I think you're one of the two most improved and probably best rosters in the NFL, and the other one is also a trigger man away. That's Washington. I think you two are the most complete teams without a quarterback that I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, and I think you're right. But here's what I would do. I would look at my defense and say, I've done a ton to shore up that defense. You know, Von Miller's back. Justin Simmons re-signed, bringing in Kyle Fuller from the Bears 30 minutes after he was cut by the Bears. Biggest no-brainer. When I saw the Bears cut him, I'm like, oh, yeah, he's just buy him a ticket to Denver just right now. He wants to go play with Vic Fangio. The biggest weakness on the Broncos' defense is at middle linebacker. And there's a kid from Penn State. Oh, boy. Put Micah Parsons on that.
Wow, you take Micah. Would you take Micah over Trey Lance?
Yes.
Whoa. I was not expecting to have this conversation.
I would, because if you give up 0 points, then I think with the tools around him, you can build an offense for Drew Lock. And consider, Drew Lock has not had the same offensive coordinator in back-to-back seasons since like freshman year in college.
All right. So let me tell you my Drew Lock situation, and you might be more right than me on this, okay? I saw 2 years of Baker, and I was out. I was out. I was done. And I told you last year, be real careful about Drew Lock. He looks a whole lot like Baker. And then year three of Baker, Baker got an actual real head coach. He got an actual real offensive play caller, a grown-up in the room and not some moron. And he is not the best quarterback in the NFL, but it works within the tools that he has. He is easily a top 12 quarterback in the NFL, and that's when your team is loaded like the Broncos, like the Browns are right now with a lot of surrounding talent. You don't have to be the best quarterback. You don't have to be a top three or top four guy. The issue is, can he make that leap? Can he make that jump? Do you have the offensive system around him? He's got to get better at his accuracy. That's the problem. Baker didn't have an accuracy problem. Baker had decision-making problem.
Drew Locke
threw some bad balls last year, and Jarrett Judy obviously
gave up on him.
He just gave up
on
him.
He was frustrated. Yeah, and I don't blame him. I mean, you've got, you know, Judy had a ton of drops. I think Jerry Judy had the most drops that were not his fault.
Yeah, it was like 70-something percent of his passes were deemed not catchable.
Yeah. And, you know, he got frustrated. Is Trey Lance going to come in and be that much more accurate? You know, coming in from...
I think Trey Lance would totally change your offense. So it's not necessarily an accuracy issue, as guys are going to be wide open because now they have to concern themselves with the run.
Yeah, I mean, it's another year with Mike Munchak as offensive line coach. I mean...
I like that. I like the offensive system being able to run it back. You got some cohesiveness there.
Mm-hmm. The O-line, you know, brings everyone back. Juwan James took last year off for COVID. You know, he says he wants to come back. He's ready to go. Something I've been seeing a little bit more of is, you know, if the Broncos were to go and take a Rashawn Slater at 9, I would be over the moon. You know, another Northwestern guy going, but you put Rashawn Slater at right tackle and that offensive line is just
locked up.
I mean, you've got an amazing offensive line.
The nice thing, if you were to do something of that nature, A, your running game gets so much better. Mm-hmm. But B, if Drew Locke doesn't succeed in that system, now you know the answer next year.
Yeah, exactly.
And every year, there are 3 or 4 quarterbacks that come open on the market. Mm-hmm. Does Russell Wilson really get pissed off and say, I'm out for real this time? And can you be a landing spot for a guy like him? Can you go sign one in free agency? Or can you then say, we're a quarterback away. Let's sell 3 first-round draft picks, move all the way up to the top. We'll take the best quarterback in draft, whoever that ends up being. And now we've got our team for the next 3 years at least. We're in that Seattle window of Russell Wilson. We need to win in 3 years because Von Miller's going to fall off. Some of these other pieces are going to begin to go away. But we're here, and we just need somebody who won't cock it up.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. You mentioned Seattle. Interesting note that I just learned not too long ago. There's only 2 teams in the NFL that have never picked first overall, and that's Seattle and Denver. This is Jacksonville's first ever number one pick. Yep. But like you would, you know, to go up and get, you know, the number one pick next year.
My Brownies have picked first overall, I think, 4 times in my life.
Yeah. No.
In 38 years of being alive, I think they've done it 4 times. And you've got other franchises that have never done it.
Yeah. And, you know, that's something that I know the Broncos take pride in. But that's just a fun little anecdote.
But let's say you're picking number one overall, but you're doing it because you've mortgaged the franchise. Not because you earned it, but because you paid for it.
Sure. And
that's a different thing.
I think, like, if you're looking, you know, for the future, that absolutely makes a ton of sense. Can Drew Locke take that step? Can he become Josh Allen? Maybe, maybe not. But if you are, if you take a Trey Lance, I suggest Mac Jones. I think that'd be a terrible idea because of fit.
Fit. Yeah. Yeah. I think Mac Jones needs to go to a Kyle Shanahan. He needs to go to a Sean McVay. He needs to go somewhere where the head coach and the play caller are one and the same and they are a young genius. He needs to go to a Josh McDaniels, as much as I really don't want him on the Patriots. Like I think he needs
my feelings about Josh McDaniels are
he won a playoff game with Tim Tebow. That's
okay.
That's like magical right there. That's stuff that you can't write in a Disney movie script. All right.
Yeah, and he got you know, ridden out of town quickly after.
That's fine. He just came home. He didn't get ridden out of town. He just came home.
What he did was he went, you know, Josh McDaniels was sent as a double agent by Belichick to come in and knock off the Broncos because the Broncos had always been the Patriots' bugaboo in the playoffs.
Yes,
and
that is a fact.
They sent in McDaniels to just, you know, sabotage the program. year and a half in, he's gone. He's right back to New England. And, you know, the Broncos need a, need Peyton Manning to come in.
Peyton Manning had never beaten Bill in the playoffs. He'd never beaten Tom in the playoffs in his entire career in Indianapolis. And he gets to the Broncos, and he just makes them their whipping boy in the playoffs.
Yeah, love it.
It really bothered me because I know that's not a Peyton thing. That's a Denver thing, and it became a Peyton thing, and it bothered me. But anyway, neither here nor there. What do you think the Broncos actually will do? Let's do that. So you would take Micah Parsons. That shocked the hell out of me. It's a great pick. You're getting probably the best defensive player in the draft.
Yeah. I could see them taking a corner. I don't know which one, but I could see them maybe taking the kid from Alabama, Surtain. Yeah. This kid from South Carolina that everyone's really high on as well.
Yep.
They could go corner, which would make a ton of sense.
Man, if the first, because I do think if you stay at 9, I think there's a world where that really is the first defensive player off the board.
It's entirely possible, yeah.
If that's the case, cornerback can't be the first defensive player off the board. That goes against everything that I believe is right and holy and the way football is built. It's also the reason you can't take a receiver number one overall either, as much as they've now become like the second most important thing. The further away you get from the football, the least important you are. This is not how you build a football team in my brain, in my mind. That would go against everything that I believe in.
Yeah, no, I think I'm right along there with you. It's, you can... The most important is the center. The quarterback is next, and then you start at the middle and you work your way out. What I would be, honestly, I'd be surprised if they stayed at 9. I think they might be targeting one of the quarterbacks if he's not there for them. If the price to move up is too high, and you get to 9, I wouldn't be surprised to see him move back, just because. If you are going to get a corner, there's 3 or 4 really, really good ones. You can pick up some pretty solid draft capital by moving back.
So let me give you a second scenario for my boy Joe Burrow that would make me sing the praises of everybody on earth. Let's say they realize they're getting offers for the number 5 pick that they just can't say no to. Do they move back to 9? Where they can still get Slater easily. There's a chance Sewell will be there.
Yeah.
There's a chance that Chase might fall there, depending on if everybody's jumping up to get quarterbacks and stuff. Do they sell a
case? Arizona's going to take a wide receiver if they stay.
Okay.
Where is Arizona? 6 or 7?
Yeah, man, the defense sucks.
Sure, but they need a receiver badly.
I guess you're right. They probably do. I mean, they have the best receiver in football from 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Do they badly need one? It's like saying.
I mean, I love Larry Fitzgerald, but, he's.
I'm not worried about Larry Fitzgerald. They got Nuke Hopkins,
but you need someone alongside Nuke Hopkins.
And there are teams that don't have a Nuke Hopkins that are winning football games.
Yeah. Well,
you got to have two of those guys Arizona. To be good.
If you're Arizona and you're. What's his face? Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah,
you're building offense. That's what you're doing.
I definitely think Cliff is coaching for his job this year. So
yeah, and I think you're going to take a wide receiver, Chase, be it Waddle.
Well, if you can move back to 9, I absolutely think if you move back to 9, at least Slater or Sewell will be there.
I agree.
Then you get extra picks for next year to continue to build that line.
Yeah, and I think that makes a ton of sense.
That would be the smartest thing. If you weren't going to – they're not going to take Chase, the smart move is to not do that. That's what I want to happen. But
no, the smart move for Cincinnati is to take Sewell or Slater. I haven't seen a lot of people.
Like I said, I would back up. I would back up one, and I would take Slater with the 9 pick or the 8 pick or 10th pick or whoever wants to move up to get him. I wouldn't move out of the top 10 because I don't think Slater's lasting much longer than that. I think a lot of teams need offensive line help. I wouldn't move too far back. But
yeah, I think he'd be there for Dallas at 10. I think he goes to Dallas.
I think Dallas has to take a defensive player. I think they might throw Jerry off the yacht if he takes another offensive weapon. They're hanging like 45 and 50, and they're still losing every game.
It's Jerry Jones.
I get you know it. If they take an offensive player, I don't care if it's a lineman. If they take an offensive player, Lil Jerry is pushing Big Jerry off the boat. We are going to say RIP to Jerry Jones after that.
Well.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, Sam, let's get off the draft a little bit. I want to talk a little hockey, and then we'll get you out of here.
Absolutely.
Have you liked this year with basically them playing in pods and seeing them play the same team like 16 times all year?
It's really interesting. And I've actually kind of been a fan of it to a certain extent.
If I was a Colorado fan, I would be a fan of it because I think you got the easiest damn pod.
Well, I mean, Vegas is also playing out of their mind.
But there are two teams there, I guess, as opposed to – because I think the other teams in the pod are pretty bad.
Minnesota's been playing really, really good. Don't sleep on them. They got the rookie of the year, Kirill Kaprizov.
I'm still sleeping on them.
Then sleep away and watch them show up in your nightmares. But I think the West – What's interesting about hockey this year is there really aren't that many playoff chases going on.
No. We're playing in pods, you've kind of got
– everything is pretty much set. There's – the biggest question mark is in the Central.
Yep.
And that seems to be working itself out. The Blackhawks are fading. Nashville's playing out of their mind.
Big win last night.
Yeah. And the Hawks are struggling. They were there. They had a really, really great early slate, and then they played Florida and Tampa and Carolina a ton. It's like there's not a lot of playoff races going on, but I think it's going to be a real exciting playoffs.
I think when we get to the playoffs, I think some of the teams that have been really dominant are going to catch like shock and awe when they have to actually play another playoff team because they haven't played a lot of great teams. And so they're going to get hit by a great team. It's like, oh shit, this is the Flyers. Like, wait a minute.
Well, and that's what's going to make this playoffs really, really interesting. Cause you're still going to have divisional play for the first two rounds, but once you get to the final four, then cause we don't know how much better the Central is than the West,
that's right,
than the Canadian division, than the East. Tampa looks phenomenal.
Carolina looks fantastic.
Florida looks really, really good. Colorado is this offensive juggernaut.
Y'all also are one of the best defensive teams out there too.
Yeah.
You give up the least amount of short goals out of anybody in the league. Like, I think you're the most complete team.
Yeah, I mean, Colorado looks fantastic. They look absolutely fantastic. Vegas looks really good.
Vegas looks great. I love them. My Bruins look really good too now. But I think that's the toughest division in the thing, though.
The East?
I absolutely think they're cannibalizing each other.
Well, I mean, that's the case across the board. But, Washington, Islanders, Penguins, Bruins, I mean, they're all right there. The Rangers are 4 points back. And, because it's all, in division play, it's really tough to gain ground, especially, if games are going to overtime and whatnot, which is kind of what the Blackhawks are running into. They have three games with the Preds and got blown out last night and got two more coming up. If the Blackhawks don't win those two, they're cooked.
When you have to play like these four game series that they're playing a lot of, and a hot goalie comes in. Holy, yeah. It's so frustrating. It's just
it's playoff hockey.
You know you're not scoring on that guy, but you got to play him four damn nights in a row.
It's playoff hockey.
Yeah.
And like that's something that this pod system this year has kind of brought is you're playing the same team two days in a row. You know, you've got like this sort of familiarity with each other. You have to raise your game. It's what you get in like a long playoff series.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it. It's been weird. It's frustrating. I really hate the Flyers, and it's like every night I turn on the Bruins game, and once a week they're playing the Flyers. Like, what in the hell, man? Like, I don't want to watch. I hate this team. But it's been interesting. I'm very much ready for next year to get back to seeing cross country matchups and your team really going on a road and. And, you know, because I think some of those long road trips that teams take throughout a season really help gel a team.
Well, I mean, there have been long road trips. You know, you're spending a week and a half on the road. You're only going to three cities.
Yeah,
you're spending.
Yeah, you're spending four nights in Chicago. You're spending three nights here. Yeah, I guess you're right. They're still doing it. It's just weird. It's just different.
It is different. It's bizarre, you know, having Tampa, Florida, Carolina in with the Blackhawks and the Red Wings.
Yeah.
And, you know, having the Blackhawks-Red Wings rivalry has been fun, even though the Red Wings are terrible.
They're just terrible.
But, you know.
One of the best franchises in all of sports has just been awful for a while now.
They have. But I think that they're doing it the right, like, quote unquote, the right way. Yeah, you know, they're building it back up. Steve Yzerman is, I hate the Red Wings so much. You know, growing up in Colorado, living in Chicago, that's some real hate.
Yep.
Steve Yzerman, I think, is doing it absolutely the right way. And it's going to be another year or two, but they are accumulating high draft picks. They're building that farm system. They're doing exactly what you need to do to make an extended run in the future. You know,
America's taking over the sport, man.
More drafted players
are coming from college hockey in America than from Canada.
Yes, but half of those college hockey players are Canadian.
I think you used the word half pretty loosely now.
I haven't run the numbers, but there are a lot.
I watched a lot of college hockey, and I think a lot of those guys are now they're all from Massachusetts or Minnesota. But like it's as close to Canada as you're going to get. But I think a lot of them are from America. I think they're American.
I'm not saying all of them are Canadian, but there are a lot of Canadian college hockey players. Speaking of Canada, what I'm really interested to see is. When it comes time to the Final Four, what's going to happen to the team that comes out of the North? They're going to have to come to the U.S.
and not go back.
Yeah. You know, they're going to. Who knows where they're going to be playing? Maybe it's Minnesota or Chicago or something like that. But that'll be a real interesting. You know, not having that home game for Toronto, it's probably going
to
be Toronto.
I was about to say, I think that's probably the easiest plot of them all.
Yeah, no, you know, Winnipeg has an amazing goaltender, and if Hellebuck gets hot, then
it's a long weekend if the goaltender locks up the pipes. You can't do anything about it.
But I think at the end of the day, you know, Toronto is easily the best team in Canada right now.
I think I think they're pretty far ahead too. Standings.
Yeah, they're 4 points up on Winnipeg. You know,
That's second. So,
and you know, five up on Edmonton, and then Montreal's right there. But yeah, Calgary, Vancouver, Ottawa—they're not going to come anywhere near the playoffs. So, having a first round of Toronto versus Montreal. You know, that'll be a lot of fun. You know, some original six thing going on. That could be a lot of fun for the first round of the playoffs there.
That's right. Sam, thank you for joining me. I appreciate it. Everybody, we appreciate you checking us out. And if you're listening on iTunes, leave that 5-star review. Check out my boys from Westlot Pirates. You can find their podcast same places you find ours. It's just called the Westlot Pirates. You're going to hear all the Northwestern stuff. Sam, you got anything else you want to plug?
Just our live draft pod. You know, that we have so much fun with that. And, you know, that's something that we've been doing with the Westlot Pirates, just the three of us for 11 years now. Wow. And the fact that we're able to bring you guys in and do it together is just phenomenal. And we have so much fun with it. And you know, it's just such a good time. And, you know, if you have the chance to jump in and watch it live, you know, we'd love to hear from everyone who's, you know, listening live, hear those questions. And it's just going to be a good time.
We're going to have to get John a team. He's going to have to pick a team so he can have a horse in the race. He can't just float through the 32 teams and give an opinion.
That's what he does.
We all have skin in the game. I need a pound of flesh from John on one team. I'll give him crap about that Thursday. John will be on with us Thursday night, my night show. So.
Yeah, he'll be wearing his Steve McNair Titans jersey on draft night, I would imagine. So.
I'm sure he will. So, thank you, Sam. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate it. We're going to get out of here.
Thanks for listening to the Winning Cures Everything podcast. The website is winningcureseverything.com, and if you want to connect with us, we're on Twitter, at GaryWCE, at ChrisBGiannini, at WinningCures, or you can email us, Gary@winningcureseverything.com, or Chris@winningcureseverything.com. Subscribe everywhere you need to subscribe, and we'll see you soon.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.